Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 146. And I want to read just one verse. My wife, I guess, would call a message like this a fireside chat. But I want to talk to you this morning on giving the very best. This certainly is the season of the year we consider, to a great degree, gift giving. What should be the parameters? How should we approach gift giving as Christians? Psalm 146, verse 5 says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, and whose hope is in the Lord his God." Certainly, the story of Christmas tells us of wise men who gave gifts to the Christ child. They gave gold that reflected Christ's deity. They gave frankincense, which spoke of our Lord's priestly life and ministry. And they gave myrrh, which represented his sacrificial death. And certainly their example continues to spur on today's gift-giving during the Christmas season. But this morning, I want us to consider gifts that have true value, the greatest value, gifts with lasting and eternal value. We talk about gifts that, when given, keep on giving. And these gifts certainly would be so classified. And I'm referring to gifts of the heart, meaning gifts that can be categorized as, number one, gifts of help, and number two, the gift of hope. And that will be our outline this morning, the gifts of help and the gift of hope. Well, I want us to first look at the gifts of help. And I want to begin by giving to others the gift of a listening ear. For a listening ear says, "I have time for you. I care about what you think. What you have to say matters to me. I'm listening. I'm hearing you. And so I give you quiet and attentive consideration. I'm listening to what you have to say." You know, sometimes we might not agree with what someone is saying, but we listen to them. Now, there are reasons God gave us two ears and one mouth, and they are to talk less and to listen more. And if you recall, the psalmist asked God to incline his ear to him. "God, I need you to hear me. God, I need to talk to you, and I need you to have a listening ear regarding the needs of my heart." And you know, the human heart needs to be heard. It needs to be heard, as we're just indicating here, first by God and then by others. And we become Christ-like when we incline our ears to the words of others. Can't we sense when we're talking to different folks that they simply need someone who will listen to them? Someone who will not argue or contradict them, someone who will not come across condescendingly, but will simply give them time. And this is especially true regarding what we would call the little people in our lives. I'm talking about children. I'm talking about people that maybe cannot elevate us. And what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes you walk into a room and you look around and you gravitate toward the person that might elevate your status among your peers. How sad that we self-servingly think that way. I know children, they'll come up to me and they'll look at me, and what they simply want from me is for Pastor Lane to look at them and to listen to them, to give them their worth, and they are valuable. And so what we need to do oftentimes is to put down our cell phones and listen. Again, what an encouragement, what a gift a listening ear is. So let me ask, are you giving this gift to others? And aren't we thankful that God has given this gift to us? He's never too busy. He's never too much in a hurry to hear our prayer-filled cries. In fact, he tells us to come boldly unto his throne of grace, where we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that amazing that God says, "Please come, I want to hear your heart"? And oftentimes it's a broken heart, isn't it? A second gift of help that we need to give is a smiling face. And why? Because a happy expression says, I'm glad to see you. So what does a happy expression also say? Well, you're valuable to me. You're not bothering me. Friends, remember, a frown alienates and a smile attracts. It draws. Now, don't we desire the smile of God's approval? Certainly. And we need and we frankly seek that accepting smile from Him, but as well from family, from friends, from acquaintances. And yes, I know it's hard to do so when we're wearing a mask. But you know what? Even when a person wears a mask, you can tell if they're smiling. Amen? I can. But let's give folk a smiling face. A third gift of help we need to give is a gracious tongue. Why a gracious tongue? Well, it says, I want to help make your day. I want to encourage your spirit. I want to tell you that you are a blessing to me. I want you to know that you matter in my life. Let me just say this. Learn to give sincere compliments. Learn to think of something that refreshes that person you're talking to. I mean, I know when I was growing up, I remember family saying, oh, Bobby, you've gotten taller. You know, maybe they hadn't seen me for a year or 6 months. And you know what? You know, that made me feel good. Think of ways to refresh others by what you say to others. Proverbs 23:11 describes a word fitly spoken as apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Proverbs 16:23 tells us a word spoken in due season, how good it is. I mean, we are going through some very depressing times. I mean, I can go through the church app and I can look at each family and know there's a major prayer request for each family. And not just one, but numbers of requests. But sometimes just saying, I want you to know I'm praying for you. You know what? That encourages and helps. It might not make the pain go away, but he senses someone that really does care. A fourth gift of help that we should strive to give is a generous hand. For we believe what Christ said in Acts 20:35, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so we give, and we do so generously, and we do so with a cheerful heart. The point here is we abound in this grace as an instrument in God's hands, being a good steward of what God has entrusted to us. We seek to meet the needs of others. God meets our needs, and oftentimes even he goes above and beyond our needs. Why? So that we can hoard what he gives to us? No, so that we can be a channel to others to encourage and to bless and meet the needs that they have. And what happens then? Well, this grace giving causes the recipients, first of all, to glorify and thank God, and then to pray for the liberal hands which have ministered this grace to them. We give a generous heart, and the blessing a bountiful sower reaps a bountiful harvest. Honestly, it is so true. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You know, generous people are blessed people. And there's something happy, something joy-filled when you're around a generous person. Isn't God generous to us? In his giving of mercy and love and grace. Remember, a generous heart is a godlike heart. And then a fifth gift of help that we can give to others, and some of this overlaps, and I recognize it, but is a thoughtful mind. And I've already touched on this, but a thoughtful mind looks for ways to serve, to encourage, to be kind, to be helpful, to be considerate of others. And we can do so with a handwritten note, a text, a call, which says, you know what, I just want you to know, the Lord put you in my heart. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I appreciate you. You again matter to me. You know, such thoughtful gestures lift the spirit of others. We should think, how can I elevate the lives, the hope of others, the hearts of others? The thoughtful mind, again, is always thinking of ways to help even before it is asked. It wants to lessen the load and the burden of others. It wants to get in the yoke with others. It wants to come alongside of others and say, I'm here to help. It's called a thoughtful mind. I think of a man in our church, and I'm not going to mention his name, because if I start mentioning his name, I need to mention other people who have been so thoughtful to Kay and me. But he asked me, is there anything around the house that I could maybe help fix? And I said, well, you know, to be honest with you, we have a sprinkler system in the back that isn't working. And he says, well, I'll come over. He says, I've worked with that. I know how to fix something like that. So honestly, not only in the back, but in the front. He spent several days, and during those days, several hours, to fix our sprinkler system. And I thought, how kind. I said, well, what can we give you? He says, nothing. He said, you give to us all the time. I ended up giving him something, honestly, but I thought, how thoughtful. You know what? I'll always remember that. I always will. That kind gesture. This man, young man, has a thoughtful mind. And then a sixth gift of help is a thankful spirit. For a thankful spirit says, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for your love. I'm grateful for your labor on my behalf. I know you have put forth time and effort for me, and I acknowledge that with words of appreciation. Thanks so much for the investment, your investment in my life. We give a thankful heart. A thankful heart is a spiritual heart. People do things for you and me all the time. Learn to say thank you. Learn to say, you know what, I want to acknowledge your thoughtfulness, your kindness to me. And then number seven, this is the last gift of help, and that's a loving heart. And what does a loving heart do? Well, it really gives all of the above that we've mentioned. It gives a listening ear, a smiling face, a gracious tongue, a generous hand, a thoughtful mind, a thankful spirit, and it gives more. It gives, and it gives good things. Gives the very best things. According to 1 Corinthians 13, and that's the love chapter in the Bible, a loving heart has both a positive and negative side. Regarding the positive side, this loving heart is patient, it's kind, it rejoices in the truth, it's protective, it's trusting, it's helpful, it's persevering. Again, that's the positive side. And then the negative side, what a loving heart does not do, it's not envious, it's not boastful, it's not proud or rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, does not remember wrongs. It practices the grace of forgetfulness. It does not delight in evil. It rejoices not, the text says, in iniquity. Remember, a loving heart truly lives out love. You can talk about love, but love really is a tangible thing. I mean, there's substance to love. And again, love is always giving. It's quick to give forgiveness. It's quick to, as much as possible, to forget the bad and to remember the good. It acts in a way that says, I really do care. I really do love you. And this is a priceless gift, for this pure, clean, wholesome, and beautiful divine love helps heal hearts. It helps restore lives. It helps build bridges. It helps bring lives together. We are so divisive. We are so divided in our world today. We give a loving heart. Hasn't Christ reached out in love to each of us? I mean, hasn't he bridged the gap between God and man? just look at the cross. Spend some time at the foot of the cross. And we have to exclaim, amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love was there to lift me. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, he died. Jesus died for us. Now, before we look at the gift of hope, I want us to understand what is needful to be able to give these gifts of help. Frankly, not just anyone can pull these gifts out of a hat. Not just anyone can give these great gifts of divine grace. So really, what is needed to be able to do so? Really, the point is not what is needful, but who is needful. And the who is twofold. First, we need to believe with our hearts that Jesus is the one who paid the penalty for our sins. And then we need to receive him, the one who embodies God's gift of life. And really, when you look at these gifts of help, you're giving people life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The point is, to be able to give these gifts of help, you have to have a new heart. And that new heart can only be given through Christ, believing in him. It's not natural for us to be kind and to be loving and to be forgiving. You and I know that. We need a new heart to be able to express, to be able to give those gifts. Which leads us to the second person we need in our lives, and that's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. We need Jesus to give us a new heart. We need the Holy Spirit then to fill that heart. And he is the one that fills our hearts. And we'll see what he fills our hearts with. John 14:6, our Lord says, "And I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And the Greek word for another refers specifically to another of the same kind. While the Greek word for comforter literally means one called alongside to help, and it has the connotation of a helper, comforter, counselor, exhorter, intercessor, encourager, advocate. Which all means Jesus' promise here was the Father, when I go back to my heavenly Father, he will not leave you alone. He will send another helper exactly like me. And this will be a person who adequately will take my place, who will live in the new heart that I've given you and will empower my work through you. And this divine Holy Spirit not only regenerates sinners, but then sanctifies sinners. The Holy Spirit turns sinners into saints. Both 2 Thessalonians 2:13, 1 Peter 1:2 references sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, which means the indwelling Holy Spirit then produces the fruit of Christ in us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We suffer long with people. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Which then brings to pass the ultimate result, Christ-likeness. These gifts of help are Christ-like gifts. It's the life, the Spirit of God lives the life of Jesus through us. If Jesus was here this morning, I can promise you he would give a smiling face. He would give a listening ear. He would have a thoughtful spirit, a thankful heart. I mean, he would have all of these. And such a life, again, gives these gifts of help to others. Yes, at Christmas time, but then throughout the year. Listening ear, smiling face, gracious tongue, generous hand, thoughtful mind, thankful spirit, loving heart. And all the highest purposes of giving the gift of hope. Honestly, giving these gifts of help And this is the point I want you to understand right now. Giving the gifts of help is really done to point people to the one who is the originator of these gifts of help, the Lord Jesus. Why do we give a listening ear? Why do we give a smiling face, a gracious tongue, a generous hand, a thoughtful mind, a thankful spirit, a loving heart, so that others will ask, well, why are you that way? And we can then point them to the gift of hope, who has given us a heart that enables us to be such a giver of these gifts of help. And so this gift of hope, the Lord Jesus, is the ultimate that we want to give to others. Paul describes this gift of hope as God's unspeakable gift, his indescribable gift. Again, why do I want to give you a generous hand? Certainly to meet your needs. Because I want you not to focus on Pastor Lane, but I want you to focus on the one who's worked in my heart, who's given me a new heart, to want to give a generous hand to you. It all goes back to Jesus. By giving these gifts of help, then by word, by telling others the Christmas story of Jesus and his love, by telling them of the love that drew salvation's plan, of the grace that brought it down to man, of the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary, is giving them the gift of hope. For they too then can become children of God. They too can have eternal life. But as many as received him, Christ, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, what hope does this world have to offer us? Again, just look at the turmoil and division in our own nation. Can it offer us the gifts of help or a gift of hope? No, because hope is not found in something, but in someone. And he is Jesus. He is the light of the world. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. He is the good shepherd. He is our peace. Only he can truly bring hearts and hands together. So I say to you this Christmas season, yes, be a giver of presents that you and others can enjoy on Christmas Day. I frankly enjoy even more watching other people be excited about what they just received. And that's important. But again, whatever you give, first give the gifts of help through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our help is sent from God who indwells our hearts and enables us to give a listening ear, a smiling face, a gracious tongue, a generous hand, a thoughtful mind, a thankful spirit, a loving heart, which are all personified in the only gift of hope there is, the Lord Jesus, who becomes for hearts the true source of joy, happiness, and fulfillment. So please, this Christmas season, tell others the true story of Bethlehem. One angel said to Joseph, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And another angel said to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. Psalm 146:5 states, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, and whose hope is in God." Truly, the greatest gift that has ever been given is Jesus, sent down from heaven. Friends, this gift of hope can be yours. Simply believe, simply trust Jesus, and he will be your Savior. Is there anything better you can receive than Jesus? And then after you've received him, you too can give these gifts of help and hope. And is there anything better you could give. These gifts have real and lasting and eternal value. And God's people said,